1 hour left. As we're off at 6 tonight.
That's it.
Mark Spears, thank goodness. Mark Spears, Yahoo Sports, or excuse me, ESPN, previously of Yahoo Sports. He'll be coming on with us, and we'll do that in about 30 minutes. Full phone lines, shocking, huh? 339-1140, 800-920-1140, and we get to Francisco. Hello, Francisco.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, number one, Grant, I just want to let you know I have great respect for you.
Thank you.
I watch the national sports news, and I don't want to name names, do the television, and everyone talks about how stupid the Kings are, and how they feel sorry for DeMarcus Cousins, and we should have never built a stadium. And my question is, does anyone ever talk to you? Do they ever call you and get your opinion of the matter?
When you mean they, be more specific.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just say ESPN.
I was on ESPN Radio today. I've been on almost every media outlet that exists today.
Okay.
But so they don't call me up and talk to me off the record. They call me up and say, hey, can you come on and talk about this for 10 minutes or whatever the case may be.
Okay, because I'm wondering why they're feeling so bad for this guy. And I know Lottie Divac didn't intentionally say, I'm not going to trade the guy and trade him. But in my opinion, that's what he gets. That's what DeMarcus Cousins gets. If Lottie was trying to really be a mean guy, well, he doesn't deserve anything else more than that.
Hey, Francisco, first of all, it's professional sports. Vladdy's job is to do what's best for the franchise. And I'm not getting caught up in what he said and what he didn't say, because that doesn't mean anything in the world of sports, okay? You know, we're not talking about your spouse here. We're talking about a general manager, agents, players. I mean, that's just the way it is.
But they make the executives of the Kings seem stupid, like they treated him.
You know what? Here's the deal. Everyone is going to rip Vladdy. They're going to rip Vivek, and they're going to rip the Sacramento Kings, and they will continue to do that until the Kings start winning games. And by winning games, I'm talking about becoming a 500 team or better. And until that happens, this will be the narrative. And you know what? You can't really argue with it, because that's the way the world works. And Vladdy knows that. The Kings, Vivek Ranadive knows that. I know that. Doug knows that.
Yep.
Everyone knows that. You want to have the rhetoric stop? You want a different narrative? Start winning.
Right. Okay, right. I just want to make sure that they at least get your opinion or our opinion from Sacramento.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, right. They probably don't care about our opinion.
No, because they want to spin the story the way that they want to spin the story. They grab whatever is out there and they roll with it. The fact is that you and myself and a lot of different people here are on the ground, so you got a little bit of a different look. But whether they reach out or not, that's up to them.
All right, let's get to Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys, thanks for the call. That comment about winning really, I mean, is a great segue for me. So I've always been very critical about DeMarcus. I don't like the whining, the complaining, all the antics, all the stuff. And a friend of mine said, so I'm born and raised in Michigan. I'm a Detroit guy. A friend of mine said, wait a second. So you had Rasheed Wallace for a number of years. What's the difference? So part of me wants to think, well, one, they were winning, and two, Rasheed was a completely different guy in the locker room and on the floor. But, Doug, you played with him. So I just want to kind of ask you guys what your opinion is on the difference between those two, because they're both very volatile, very, you know, Rasheed was also very animated. But, you know, he was very tough defensively, and they won, so I wanted to see if there was if winning is all of it, or is it just a different mindset?
Well, I never played with Rasheed. I competed against him, but I would say that when you define the two and you look at them and you talk about the personalities and the technicals and all of that, there's a similarity there. But where you look in comparison is, Rasheed was able to win with that type of a thing, not only on a smaller level in Portland, but actually a world championship level in Detroit. And DeMarcus has not been able to do that yet. So
right.
If you're not able to do that, you are going to get crucified for your tirades and different things.
So do you think that DeMarcus is less received, I mean, less well received by the fans and by, you know, the national media people, because they're losing, or is it just winning and losing?
Kings as a whole, I think we talked about the fact that the other caller was saying, you know, a joke and all these different things. Until the narrative begins to be that the Kings win, then people will be quiet and you'll hear that type of thing go away.
339-1140, 800-920-1140. Adam is next. Hello, Adam.
Hey, guys. Good evening. Grant, first off, I know you said you never drink coffee, but I think you're going to need it the next couple days or so.
I need something, man, because I'm literally about ready to fall asleep here on my chair.
I'm ready to see you with bags under your eyes for Thursday's game and everything, man.
I'm fried.
I'm looking forward to it. Okay, I just want to get this out here. I wish DeMarcus the best, and I really wish that he could have, you know, retired a King and, you know, brought have his jersey in the rafters and stuff. But after, you know, a certain number of years, you realize it's just not going to happen. And I'm pretty certain that he will succeed with his new team. And I think he will it'll be fantastic. And, you know, everyone will be like, oh, the Kings are stupid for letting him go. But it needed to happen. But I think I speak for myself, and I think at least some other Kings fans, when I say I'm a little concerned more with how ownership in the front office will handle this, because over the course of this new ownership, there's been, and I'm in previous front office and current front office, there's been a lot of questionable decisions. And some of us are wondering if the front office and ownership is up to the task of a full rebuild, because of our previous decisions, we've now put ourselves in jeopardy for a full rebuild. You know, we owe a 2019 pick to Philly, which if we're rebuilding, we're probably not going to be very good in that year. So there goes our pick in 2019. And Philadelphia is playing better as of late. There's a real conceivable option that Philadelphia could take our pick.
It could, but if that's the case, I think it would be very, very close. It might be a difference of one, and I'm just speculating based on the records of the teams and the fact that, you know, the Kings have three more wins and two fewer losses, and there's 25 games left. So,
right.
I mean, and Philly's got some real issues injury-wise right now, too. So, yes, that is possible, but I'm not ready to just, you know, think it's going to be that big of a deal.
And also, let's say the Kings, you know, just on heart and hustle alone,
yes,
perform better, more than our expectations are right now after all this, and they end up with a pick outside the top 10. It goes to Chicago.
Right.
And so, I mean, our previous decision, the previous decisions with front office, you know, letting Stauskas go, giving up those picks.
Who cares about Nick Stauskas? He can't play in this league. Who cares?
Well, no, I'm not saying Nick Stauskas. I mean, including the first round picks.
That you can look back and say that's an issue. I think when the deal's done, they're figuring by 2019 it's not going to matter. Right now it's 2017, and it looks like it may matter. But, you know, worry about that when you get to 2019.
Well, I know, but the front office has never given us fans and ownership any indication that they really know what they're doing. And I hope, because I'm an eternal optimist. I'm a Kings fan.
I get you.
You know, and so it's on the front office now.
You know what? I said that to Vladdy today. I said that to him. I said, hey, it's your team now. You know, and I asked him, I said, when is it realistic for fans to be able to evaluate the job you're doing? I asked him point blank, you know. And so, listen, you're pretty much saying the same things we've been saying. Okay, the front office now, it's their game. They have Vlade Divac has to show everyone and put the criticism to bed by making good moves and the right decisions, and that means the draft first and foremost.
Yeah, and it's going to be free agents as well. How are you going to lure them in and get free agents in here? And I think a lot of that is going to be Coach Yeager and his system and the stability that you're able to see with what he's doing in the coaching staff. Obviously, Golden 1 center ownership, but also, Grant, a systematic approach of how do you play, because a lot of why, like, for instance, Kevin Durant went to Golden State is because the style of play. He wanted to learn how to play basketball and play in that type of a style.
Lydia, you're next here on Sports 1140.
Hello?
Hello, Lydia. You're on the radio.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Sometimes I get this.
That's okay.
Noise.
That's okay. We got your attention now. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, Grant, I've listened to everyone, and I'm kind of part and partial now. I was angry earlier when I heard the news about DeMarcus' trade. But, you know, now I'm kind of split between, you know, both sides. I'm going to say this because I see where Doug's thinking, and I kind of agree with Doug, you know, opinion earlier. on one side of me is saying I think they should have waited till summer for DeMarcus and try to get some more backcourt help and get in, and make the eighth seed the rest of the season. Because we're only a game out, a game and a half out from Denver, I think keeping DeMarcus and get some backcourt help probably would have got us the eighth seed this year. On the other hand, I believe in shaking things up and getting and DeMarcus trade kind of makes sense in the fact that it's going to give us a 2017 pick from New Orleans, first round and second round, and we've got a good draft class coming up. However, you know, I'm interested in seeing what's going to happen the second half of this season and how the players are going to step up. And the only thing I'm going to say is we, for the rest of the season, we have to make up for like 20 to 25 points a game. So with Hield and whoever we got, the deadlines Thursday, whoever we get in the meantime between Thursday, we're going to have to – you better be making some shots in the backcourt.
You've got to understand, Lydia, that Ty Lawson's coming back. So that's going to help.
That's true.
And Garrett Temple is pretty close to coming back.
That's correct.
All right, so that's going to help a lot in that regard.
Yeah, but, you know, the best thing I agree with all this, because the game has changed to more of a backcourt game than a frontcourt game, DeMarcus was really the Cousins. I mean, I believe that DeMarcus was running the team. I think that in a very negative way, by trying to just be – you know, you said he gave the fingers to the crowd. I thought that was a bad. Did he really give both fingers to the crowd?
It's on video. He says with the letter that's the word that starts with an F, U, Golden State, and then both hands with two middle fingers. It's on video with audio. It's out there for everyone to see.
Yeah, you don't do that when
no, you don't do that.
You don't do that, especially when you're a three-time All-Star.
Thank you.
And you know what? I'm glad this happened. Because I'm hoping now that, you know, the game's going to change to more of this year's game instead of being DeMarcus's game.
Yeah. Well, Lydia, thank you for your patience and staying on hold for so long. We're glad we were able to get to your call.
Well, I think I see the whole picture now.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you. You have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Mark Spears of ESPN is going to be coming on in a little bit, but we have more phone calls, so let's get to Juan. Hello, Juan.
Hello, Grant. You know, I just, you know, thanks for having me on. I was just, you know, what's on my mind is that I think Boogie deserved more respect. And I say this because of his community impact, and then you have this horrible way of breaking the news to him during the All-Star media, like right after the game.
That was unfortunate. The timing could not have been worse. That was unfortunate. The story broke, and whomever leaked it really was not looking out in the best interest of DeMarcus Cousins. That's unfortunate.
And once something like that leaks, especially like if it would have been at a game, Kings game,
that's
it would have
different.
Been a little bit
yeah,
different.
Yeah, but not when you have every single media member in
every
the world,
single media
right.
member that has anything to do with basketball.
Is there.
Right.
Right. It's unfortunate. Well, you're exactly right. I will tell you that did not come from the Kings. They didn't leak the story. I don't know who leaked it. I don't know where it came from, but the guy that got – you know, it was unfortunate for DeMarcus. In a perfect world, it would have been great if it could have all gone down today or tomorrow, but, you know, or today. You know, tomorrow you want there's practice, and you'd like to have, you know, the players able to practice 2 days before the first game. So today would have been ideal, but once that story leaked, I believe Adrian Wojnarowski, if I'm not mistaken, was the first one to put it out there. At that point in time, then it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, and then also I mean, just Vlade, I think he's making us look like a mess, too. I mean, he went on the record and he said, oh, yeah, we're not going to trade him. And then Boogie's agent was reassured that he wouldn't be traded. And then
you know what? I've been saying this over and over again, okay? And I asked Vlade that question earlier when he was on with us. And if you didn't get a chance to hear it, you can go to KHTK.com. He said when he made that statement, he wasn't planning on trading DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
That was not something he was planning on doing when he made that comment. That's number one. Number two, so what? You know what I mean? Like, really, are we going to get caught up in the fact that a general manager said he's not trading a player and then trades him? How many times have we heard a general manager give a vote of confidence to a coach or a manager in baseball, and then the next week the guy's gone? Who cares about that stuff? It's pro sports, man.
It's part of the business.
Yeah, it really is. I wouldn't get caught up on that.
No.
I really wouldn't.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, a lot of people are looking for now. Well, how are other players and different things? You're going to, and if you know Vlade, then you know something different. But, and most guys who come in, they are going to learn that. But it is part of the business.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Drew. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. Awesome interview with Vlade. I thought I gained a lot of respect for Vlade after that. He's the most truthful GM out there, and kind of got to hand it to him. And you kind of see you guys for those tough questions.
Thank you.
Quick question about Vivek talking about Buddy Hield compared to Steph Curry. What does Vivek know about analyzing NBA basketball players, considering his only experience is his daughter's elementary school team?
Vladdy made the basketball decision today to trade DeMarcus Cousins, not Vivek Ranadive.
Right, but you heard Vivek talk about that Buddy could be the next Steph Curry, and I think that's a little far-fetched.
Yeah, I didn't hear him say that. I don't know where that came from, so I'm not going to comment on it until I see it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it was all out there.
Yeah, well, the fact that it's out there doesn't mean that it's true. They were also said that, you know, Vivek Ranadive had gone to Michael Malone and said he wanted to play a 4-on-5 style of basketball, which was garbage. That never happened, okay? He was giving an idea to see what it would look like in a D-League. He never, ever gave any thought at all to having it in an NBA game, never suggested that to Michael Malone, and that was a fictitious story. So, you know what? Listen, I have no problem criticizing anybody, but I'm not going to make any comment on something that I don't even know if it's true or not.
Yeah, a lot of times a lot of that stuff is taken out of context, so you can't just judge it because it's on the internet someplace.
All right, thank you. Good-looking guy on NBA TV right now, huh?
You know what?
What a nice bow tie.
I was going to say that, Grant. Very well done.
You like that bow tie?
I do, my friend. Yeah. That's looking good.
Purple, nice, good stuff. Hello, Logan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Well, good. What's up?
Thanks for having me on the show. Just wanted to say, you know, I hear everybody and, you know, they're bashing Vlade and bashing the organization. And first and foremost, I am not a Kings fan. I'm a Warriors fan. Go Dubs. Sacramento guy, though. And I, you know, unbiasedly, I think it was a great move. I think DeMarcus was a cancer to the team. His attitude, he didn't, you know, when you're the big dog on the team, sorry, but you have to be a leader. And especially how the Kings have been over the last few years, they're looking towards that guy who is dropping 30 and 15 rebounds. They're looking to him to be a leader. And when he acts the way he does as a quote-unquote baby or whatever you want to call it, I don't think that promotes a good team vibe. And I think that's evident in how the team has performed. He's been there for 7-8 years, and now he's leaving with playoff experience, and he's supposed to be one of the best big men in the league. And that's why I think it was a great move. You know, people want to talk about Vlade saying this or that or another. Business, that happens in business. One day it's one thing, the next day it's another. So as a non-Kings fan, as a Sacramento-ian, I'm loving it because now I can go to the games and not have to work with Boogie, you know, acting up and taking away from what they're trying to do, and which is win ball games.
Thanks for the feedback, Logan. Have a good evening. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Great to be able to hear what people have to say today.
Yes.
In a reaction Monday. Chad, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for coming in on your day off, especially when you have to hear the same phone call.
It's okay, buddy. We're happy to be here. We're providing a service, and I mean that in all sincerity. This is a day that we can't miss, so we're happy to be here.
Hey, just wanted to say, you know, I'm happy with the trade. Just for the standpoint of this year, you know, I know we've got way behind in a lot of games, but for the first time in a long time, we fight back and come back and battle back. But it felt like, you know, 5 minutes left in the game, you know, you want the ball in the hands of your best player. And it seems like that double would always come down and we'd fail to get a shot off when the ball's in Boogie's hands. So, you know, the first time Boogie's ever had pressure, it seems like he fails to adjust to get out of that double team and provide a shot or get the ball to somebody that can shoot. So I'm happy with the trade. Take your comments off the air. Thanks, guys.
He has not been a good closer. Now, I think he'll be a much better closer when he has Anthony Davis, because I think defensively that's going to create a real nightmare for a coach. But He does have a tendency to turn the ball over too much at the end of games. That's the one thing I will say. He does have to limit his turnovers at the end of games. He turns the ball over way too much.
Yeah, well, when you look at AD, he's going to draw what I always call a man and a half. So if Cuz has got a man and a half and he's got a man and a half, it's going to open up some lanes and there's going to be a lot more spacing on the floor. And you add Drew Holiday into that, and he is one heck of a player too. So it'll be interesting to look at the box scores from time to time and check out what Cuz is doing.
All right, let's get to Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hey, happy rainy Monday to you guys.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
You know, I liken this to an ex that we've all had that's been super hot, had all the package and everything, but every time they open their mouth, you just couldn't stand them. And you tried to make the relationship work, but at some point, that hotness just wore on you. And I think that's kind of where we are with DeMarcus. Wish him the best. Now it's time to move on, and I think that the happiness that we have, and just like the last caller had mentioned about going to the games and not having to worry about what your son or daughter is going to hear at the game, that's going to have a huge impact. And I'm really excited just to point out with a coach that we have that has a history of developing young talent and has been extremely successful at doing so. And so now I think part of what we're seeing now is the opportunity for Dave Yeager to actually do what he's always been done and successful at, is develop young talent into a great team. And then one last point I want to make is that the NBA is really all about entertainment, and we have a couple super teams. So everything besides maybe Cleveland and Golden State, it's just all about, you know, enjoying the game. And for me, and many other fans out there, it was really hard to enjoy the game with DeMarcus because nobody likes a bully or a sore loser. And we kind of had that for 6 years. And so I'm really looking forward to it. And I can only imagine, Grant, what your liquor cabinet's going to look like after you get home tonight.
Well, I don't really drink that much, so I don't even have a liquor cabinet, actually. I've got a few beers in the refrigerator that have been there for a couple months, but there will be nothing at the Napier household that is going to be alcoholic tonight, because Mr. Napier is going to go home and go to sleep.
I know this is true. You know what? I can agree with him on that call. Yep. It's going to be exciting to watch Dave Yeager put his handprint on this.
Yes, it is.
And begin to mold it.
Yep.
And him, he and Vlade and what they're trying to do. And he talked about Coach Yeager developing, and we saw his coaching staff begin to develop Willie and a lot of different. So that is going to be really exciting moving forward.
All right. Don't forget Mark Spears from ESPN in just a moment or two, actually in about 5 minutes. Ben, how are you, Ben?
Hi, guys. First-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Yep.
I think we could both agree that it takes maybe one or two top 15, top 10, 20 players to be a competitive playoff team. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, it depends what you mean. You mean to win a playoff series or just to get into the playoffs?
To maybe win a playoff series.
Yeah, but you need at least one. I would say that's accurate.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and with the Kings' horrible history of drafting, how long are Kings fans expected to wait for those players?
Well, I don't. When you mean horrible history, be more specific. Which history are you referring to?
Jimmer Fredette.
Okay, well, Vlade Divac didn't draft Jimmer Fredette. He didn't draft Thomas Robinson. His first draft pick was Willie Cauley-Stein, and then last year he drafted three players and acquired Bogdan Bogdanovic, who will be coming over next year. So we can't evaluate this year's draft. It looks like Willie Cauley-Stein is going to be a very good player. So, I mean, are we going to fault Vlade Divac for the drafting of Thomas Robinson and Jimmer Fredette?
No, I don't fault Vlade for those picks, but as an organization as a whole,
The organization, but you got to understand, the organization is different. The ownership is different. The ownership during those deals is no longer the entire organization is different. So, I mean, if you want to go there, we can go there. But I don't think that's fair. Do you?
I don't know. I have a lot of hope right now.
All right. Well, that's fine. And I hear what you're saying when you say you don't have a lot of hope. And I'm saying, okay, you know what? I can sympathize with you, and I can see that. But I mean, I don't think it's fair to. I mean,
it's a different time.
We have a new president of the United States. If he fails, are you going to blame Obama for it? Or are you going to blame, what are you going to do here? Isn't the person that's in charge now in charge? And isn't that who we're going to hold accountable? Right now, Vlade Divac is in charge. He's in his second year, and he needs to be held accountable if if these moves do not work out and this team does not improve. But not Pete D'Alessandro, as bad as he was, not Jeff Petrie, not the Maloofs. I mean, we got to deal with the present regime here.
It takes an organization a long time to get a player like DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, every decade. And we need to put together two players like that to even have a chance.
Yeah, but what you're going to have to do also is you're going to have to put together a team, and they're going to have to go out in their skill development and a lot of different things. So you're simplifying it to a level that when you get out there and compete, it's a little bit different than just putting two great players out there.
I'm exhaling because, you know, there were some horrible trades. Isaiah Thomas turned out to be an all-star. They traded him.
Yep.
Hassan Whiteside, who, again, I wouldn't have said there was any chance. It's not like they had bad picks. They made bad decisions. Now, the Thomas Robinson, Jimmer Fredette, real bad. All right, Mark Spears next here to talk NBA basketball. All right, we are back with you right up till 6 o'clock. As promised, Mark Spears, ESPN. Mark, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, how are you, sir?
Man, you know I got to make you laugh, right?
Yes, you do.
So, I told my cousin about your tweet.
Yeah.
Black clouds.
Yeah.
And my uncle said, well, there's a lot of black clouds in New Orleans, so he'll fit it just fine.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. You're a piece of work. Last time we had you on, we discussed the situation with Sacramento, and you thought it would be best to hit the reset button. Now that they've done this, give me your impressions here the day after the trade.
I think it's best. I just think they were impatient. I mean, to me, you got to – I just didn't like that deal to do now. If that was the best deal you had Thursday, go ahead and push the button. But I just kind of find it hard to believe that was going to be the best. You don't know if that's the best deal you have. You still have 4 days left. So I just thought that was a little bit impatient. I don't think the deal's as bad as people are making it out to be because – the thing is, a lot of people don't know how good this draft is, you know, and because of the, I guess, expected doom as far as record-wise for the Kings the rest of the season, they should have a really high pick in what's going to be a phenomenal draft. So I'm guessing, tell me if I'm wrong, Grant, they'll probably have something in the top five and something 15 to 20.
Yeah, I would say that. So. Now, the only thing that would possibly change that, and right now they've got a 3-game lead in the win column on Philadelphia and a 2-game lead in the loss column, is they would have to switch picks with Philly if once the ping pong balls come out, if the Kings are lower than Philly. But again, right now it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. But yes, they could have two very good picks.
Yeah. So I mean, basically, say one in the top seven, one 15 to 20. So, yeah, I mean, this is a special draft, but I just think that even the protection that with patience could have been pushed out, perhaps. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I'm kind of down on. Like, why was it so urgent to get it done? Why did it have to be during the All-Star game? I just can't believe that with all the phone conversations that you could have had, and you know, obviously the Lakers were listening, other teams were listening. You just never know when it comes to that 11th hour what teams would do. And I actually thought that Sacramento was in a position of power and put their cards in too early.
Mark, what is your take on maybe that, you know, the urgency being dictated by the ability to leak? And once maybe that started leaking maybe over to Cousins' camp, it could have jeopardized what was out there.
I guess there's that, but this didn't get out right.
Right. Until
so, I mean, you gotta be adamant about telling another team like to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some teams, as you guys know, that got some loose lips, and there's some teams like the Lakers, even though that ended up getting out.
And let's not discount agents.
Yeah.
That was more of my thing.
Ultimately, the agent can cry and whine all he want, but he can't stop you from making a trade.
No, he can't, but he can leak it.
Okay. I mean, There's so many rumors. I don't even know what to believe half the time anyway.
Ditto.
Right.
I wouldn't let an agent dictate what I may or may not do.
No, fair enough.
I just think that
fair enough.
Like I said, if Vlade feels in his heart that this was the best thing that he could get, so be it. But I just felt like more patience was needed, and you just never know what was going to be available on Thursday. Like, I wonder if I could hear some GMs say, man, I would have gave him this. You know, that's when you start hearing some of that. So I just wish they would have exercised more patience because, you know, despite the issues that, you know, happened and things that perhaps ran to rub people the wrong way, he's still an elite talent, a top 10 talent. So I just think that Sacramento probably didn't understand. And look, Grant, you know there's some behind-the-scenes things.
Yep.
If the owner really, really wanted Buddy Hield, like, what is Vlade going to do? The man owns the team.
You know what? Listen.
If that is true.
Yeah, well, we had Vlade on earlier today, and again, this is what he said. I'm not going to try to say anything other than what he said.
Yeah.
We asked him flat out about the decision-making process, and he said, this was my decision. I made the trade. That's the power that I have, and this falls on me, and I have full autonomy to make the moves that I want to make.
Okay.
Mark, from your opinion on a national scale, because you have your ear to the ground in a lot of places that some of our listeners were not going to be privy to, how many offers or people were maybe willing to make that deal with Cuz?
No, you guys had Orlando's ear for a minute.
Yes, right.
And I did make a mistake on TV. I say that Sacramento pulled out. That wasn't true. I made the mistake. There was actually Orlando pulled out of that.
That's correct.
Where there was Vucevic and Fournier.
Yep.
Which had Orlando. So Orlando got cold feet. But see, like something like that, I probably would have kept pushing on. You know what I mean? I actually like that trade if that would have happened. Brandon Ingram, I would have probably kept pushing on it. See, you know, you still got 4 days. But right now, it's the grade that I would give Sacramento probably be more of an incomplete because I don't know who they're going to draft. And see, that's the thing. Now the pressure is, like, Vlade can't mess up in the draft.
No, he can't. He got to hit a triple or a home run. No singles, no doubles. You're right.
No. When you draft as high as the Kings draft, you can't make a mistake. You know, like not drafting Marquise Chris to me was a mistake. He's going to be a great player, and he's from Sacramento.
I don't care where he's from.
Well, I think it helps to have a hometown guy. If you could get it, it's just an extra, you know, check. But Papianis better pop, you know, he's going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, but you know what? I disagree in this sense, and we're talking with Mark Spears. He does a phenomenal job. We love having him on. I've had him on for years for ESPN. That deal, the Kings got the draft rights to Bogdan Bogdanovic, who is arguably the best player in Europe. He's going to be on the team next year. And they got two other players with that deal in Papianis and Scalabi-Sierre. And so, I mean, is Marquise Chris going to be good? Yeah, maybe he will. I think Bogdanovic has a chance to be really good, and I wouldn't rule out the other twos. We'll find out in a couple of years.
But that goes back to what I said is, like, with the Kings things, it's hard to grade it now. You almost want to give them an incomplete.
Yep. Fair enough. I think you're spot on there.
Like, it's easy to beat up on it now. Do I think they should have exuded patience? Yes. But, you know, what if this point guard from North Carolina State, who I think is amazing, comes?
Right.
Or what if Josh Jackson comes?
Yep.
Like, if you could get one of those guys, you know, Ball, one of those Kentucky cats, Fox, you know, that Kentucky has like three guys. There are guys in this draft to me that are franchise altering players. But you got to pick them. You got to pick the right one.
You got it. You can't miss on these. So, you cannot miss.
So I almost want to say, I don't think you could really grade the trade until the night of the draft.
So, Mark, you grade this because I asked Vlade, and Vlade's words was, where do I sign? If you're able to get De'Aaron Fox early, you get T.J. Leaf later in the first round, and Alonzo Greer in the second round, what's your grade then?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's this is a really deep special draft. Like, to me, like, I wouldn't be surprised in that range. Like you mentioned, Leaf, that, hey, Ivan Rabb from Cal could be sitting there at that time.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's going to be talent. So to me.
Agreed.
Like, they need to really put it, whoever their scouts are, like, the guys that are in the trenches, the guys that are watching all these people, like Vlade, unless Vlade's going to be out watching all these guys, he needs to really pay attention to what these scouts say. Because those are the guys that are in the trenches, you know?
Yeah, no question.
You need to tell Vivek that he needs to follow in the same line at the draft as the owner of the Spurs, which is, when the draft is over, come in and tell me who we picked. You know, this needs to be, to me, a scout decision more than anything. And so, that, I mean, to me, this draft, it either puts the – it helps get the franchise back on the right track or keeps the wheel wobbling.
I agree. I think you spot on there. You're going to get two lottery picks, or one lottery pick and another good pick. You're exactly right. You cannot miss on these picks, and
yeah,
there's no reason to miss, because as you just said, I mean, I'm hearing that this is the best draft in like ages. Now, I don't know how you define ages, but I'm talking about for many, many years.
No, I'm one of those people. This is a special draft.
Right, special. Thank you. That's a better word than ages. Yes.
It could be.
Yeah,
it could be. I think it could be. Not that there's a LeBron James in this draft, but pound for pound, it could be better than the 2003 draft. It's just that deep.
Yeah, so, and it's like last year, everyone said it was going to be a weak draft, and you know what? They're spot on. It was a very weak draft.
Yeah. So no, this one, I probably watched more college basketball this season than I have in years.
Wow.
Because I'm trying to get used to all the different talent. All like. There's a kid at Arizona that nobody's talking about that's like Dirk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Mark Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable. You know? All right. So, yeah.
So, I mean, but to me, like, honestly, the Kings shouldn't even be in this position now. You know, when I talk to my friends nationally, they joke about, well, they drafted Jimmer instead of Kawhi and Clay. You know, well, they drafted Robinson. You know, they drafted the sharpshooter who they traded to the – I don't even remember the guy's name anymore. Like, to me, if the Kings want to change it around, they got to stop making mistakes in the draft.
With Mark Spears
because
from ES.
They're getting too many great, great picks to take.
No doubt. With Mark Spears from ESPN. Mark, when you look at the Kings, and the word that's been thrown around here is culture – and now you talk about, you know, people are saying how it might be read with Vlade and what he said, not trading DeMarcus.
Yeah.
Is it more, do you think, that it, once the culture begins to change here and people start to come in free agents, do you think it'll be easier for people to sign here, free agents to sign here in Sacramento?
Winning will bring free agents.
Gotcha.
Doug Christie wasn't going to sign with no team that wasn't winning. I don't care what the arena looked like.
Hey, look at the Lakers can't even get a free agent.
Yeah.
This is true.
It's winning.
Right.
Why do you think guys are running to Cleveland?
Right.
You don't – Doug, you didn't like going to Cleveland?
No, I did not.
And he only had to go there once a year and he didn't like it.
Yeah. But if you were still playing and LeBron James asked you to go, you go.
No doubt. No doubt.
So, to me, that's what – people ain't flocking to San Antonio, but they're winning, so LaMarcus Aldridge signs.
Right.
Paul Gasol signs. Winning trumps the market, trumps the so-called, oh, well, this isn't a great place to be, or this, that, and the other. I'm fine with Sacramento as a city. I have no problem with Sacramento.
How crazy was New Orleans this weekend, man? I got to tell you, I was telling Doug, that was the craziest, busiest, freakiest, with the Mardi Gras parades and the traffic. That place was just, I mean, come on, man.
No, it was Mardi Gras is nuts by itself. It doesn't need an added event. I actually had an interview with Draymond Green set up at a great steakhouse that you should go to next time, guys, called Desi Vegas. And we were going to try turtle soup and gumbo and blackened steak topped with crab meat and, you know, all these different things. Who dat shrimp? And he couldn't get there.
Yeah. I know.
And I told, like, there was a parade that actually went in front of the restaurant. I walked up. I'm like, are you kidding me? There's no way he's going to get here. And it was rainy, too. It was, but I had a wonderful time. I did think the city did the best it could to be a host under the circumstances. You know, remember, it wasn't like they won a bid to get it. They got
it handed to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't have a lot of time to prepare.
They did the best they could. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so you watch a lot of college basketball, Mark Spears, ESPN, just to have fun. Based on what you've seen right now, if you were a GM and you were a terrible team and you needed everything, who would you take number one right now based on what you've seen?
Number one.
You take Lonzo Ball?
His dad's put a lot of pressure on him, Mark.
I like Josh Jackson, man.
You like Josh Jackson, yeah.
That's my dad.
And maybe I'm a little biased because I saw him close up a lot. Not that I haven't seen Lonzo Ball close up, but this guy has a Michael Jordan type of competitive nature, Kobe Bryant type of competitive nature.
Seriously,
and
wow.
And then off the court, he is as aces as a kid as you'll find.
Wow.
He loves chess. He used to hang out with the lacrosse players. He wants to,
love
because he had spent time in Napa. He wants to have his own wine one day.
Wow.
Brilliant, brilliant kid. Very, very impressive. And he plays in practice the same way he plays in games. I think that he is slowly rising this season.
Wow.
And he's going to be, to me, he's going to be a superstar. That's not to say that Markel Fultz and Ball and Smith in North Carolina State and, you know, the guys in Kentucky won't. But I haven't seen a kid in years who has a killer mentality. Like, he would dunk on his mom if he had to. You know what I mean? And service.
Yeah. Interesting you say that because he was, in my opinion as well, I when I look at him, one thing that I like is when you have NBA size, but when you start talking about competitive edge and all that, I really like what I see. A guy who doesn't get a lot, but that I, for some reason, like Luke Kennard. What do you think about him from Duke?
Like him. I like him, but I see him more as a complimentary player.
Yep, yep.
You know, a poor man's Doug Christie. You know what I mean? That kind of guy.
Well, he's broke then. Damn.
But, hey, let me tell you something. You know that's not true.
I'll tell you this. What is Jason Tatum? You know what I mean? Like, that's another guy I haven't mentioned.
Yep,
the
yep.
kid from Duke. He's getting better and better and better, and he's a guy who I think in the NCAA tournament will end up pushing himself into the top five.
Wow.
So you got all these point guards right now. Eventually, size trumps, you know, the point guards and everything. So I could see Jason Tatum moving into the top five. He's looking really, really good. It's going to be a great draft. I'm excited about this one.
Mark Spears, final question for you. We haven't talked yet about, you know, with DeMarcus pairing up with Anthony Davis in New Orleans. Give me your thoughts on how you think that's going to work out.
I think they'll be great together. Point guard is key. It might take some time for them to gel right. But you know what? Sometimes I think divorce is needed for both sides. And this is a time where I think divorce is needed for both sides. So to me, it doesn't – like, I didn't really like Vlade's comment. Just move on. You know what I mean? About the character thing and this and that and the other. And you can want that, but you don't need to say that, you know?
Well, I don't have a problem with it because everybody already knows it.
Yeah, but I come from the Boston Celtics frame of mind. Well, once a Celtic, always a Celtic. You know, the guy did score a lot of points there. He did a lot of great things. He's an all-star there. And there could be a time when his jersey's up in the rafters. So I kind of look forward and wish him the best, you know?
No doubt.
And I think Kings fans should appreciate the good things and hope that this change will bring a new great day to the Kings. But to me, both sides, it just needed to, you know, needed to sign the paperwork and move on.
Hey, Mark, always great sharing some time with you. We'll see you at the arena here, I'm sure, in the not-too-distant future. Take care of yourself.
All right, guys. See y'all soon now.
Appreciate I look forward you. To it. He's a great guy, Mark Spears.
No doubt.
All right, we have a couple of moments, so let's get these final phone calls in if we can. All right. Anendo, you're on with Grant and Doug. Anendo.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hi, Grant, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Back in December 30th, 2014, I see this article you wrote on CBS. You said that the team right now is one of the worst in the NBA. You continued to say that we got a brand new, you know, complex in Sacramento, but you can't wait for 2016. And then you said that, you know, we need to know the plan. Sacramento Kings fans are too loyal. And finally, you said, I have no problem coming out on the radio and saying, hey, you know what? Hang on there and be patient, okay? This is going to work. But it's not working right now. So my question to you is, it's been 2 years since that. Vlade's came on, I guess, 4 months after you wrote that article.
I didn't write the article. Someone must have written it because I don't write anything for anything. But I did make those comments at the time. Right. I couldn't have possibly forecasted that we would have a complete coaching and general manager change.
Fair enough, fair enough. But it's been 2016 now, so when are you willing to, you know, start criticizing us, the front office, and what do you think?
At the end of next season, at the end of next season, if this team has not made significant progress, I will criticize the front office. But I will give the same mantra I give the players I've given to the front office, the same way I did with the Raiders, same way I do with John Lynch and the 49ers. They need 3 full years to put their stamp on what they're doing. So that would be at the end of next season.
Do you think we have a plan other than, you know, this kind of nebulous culture change? I mean, I know it's a material thing, but right now I'm not sure what type of culture is going to
We'll find out. Mark Spears just said it best. We will find out. We can analyze. He said he gave him the Kings are incomplete right now based on what they did yesterday. A lot's going to depend on the draft. We'll find out the answers to those questions.
No doubt. And it's going to be the draft, I think, that dictates, because that is going to be the talent that you really got from the DeMarcus Cousins draft.
All right, Ken, you'll be our last caller. If you're on hold, we will not be able to get to you today. We'll get to you tomorrow. Ken, what's going on? But you don't have to stay on hold all night. What's up, Ken?
Hey, I just wanted to just – I know you guys have been talking about this all day, and I really apologize. I just got home from work. Can you guys just briefly tell me what the difference between that protective first-round pick that we got, just so I know?
Yes, if New Orleans gets the first, second, or third pick in the lottery, we don't get their pick this year. It would go to next year. So it's protected. If it's New Orleans protected themselves, if they get real lucky and get the bounce of the ball in the hopper, then in their first, second, or third, they get to keep their pick. That's all that means.
Gotcha. And just so on a lighter note, despite all the Cousins stuff, I was really bummed out that we kind of traded Omri Caspi. He's one of my favorite players. Mm. And, talk about culture and character. Like, that guy was probably the definition of that, what we're trying to build. And I don't know if you guys have time to check out what he wrote on the Instagram and the Facebook. It was really heartfelt stuff. So any Kings fans listening right now, I mean, yeah, you know, I would say this, you know, it sucks, but what Caspi wrote, you know, I think would maybe shine some light to the whole, you know.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Doug, thanks for coming in today, man. We had an off day, but we couldn't pass this up.
Not a chance in you know where.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. Doug, we'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Thanks for listening, everybody, as we say so long. Thanks to all the phone calls, all the text messages, everyone. Thank you so much, whether you agree or disagree. Your passion is unparalleled, in my opinion. You're awesome, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So long.